television's here and we're ready to roll. You must be something. You must have some important stuff for us to hear.
I guess so. I didn't think it was all that important. All right. Well, good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Thank you for hearing House Bill 59. I'm Representative Michael Corcoran from St. Louis County, 77th District. I know there's been several bills filed for this effort in the last several years at the House and the Senate, and I'm also aware that most of those bills have not even been heard in committee, so I really do appreciate you hearing this bill, Mr. Chair. Let me just start by saying that this bill is not part of any kind of political partisan agenda. It's something that happened to me personally and to voters in my district is what motivated me. I did do some research and found out there had been other bills. I hadn't really followed the issue that closely, to be honest with you, until the previous election. A few years back, my mother went to go vote for me. When she went in to find her ballot, my name wasn't on a ballot. Representative Springs' name appeared on the ballot. So this was around noon, so who knows how many people voted for Representative Spring instead of myself. But it's not about us. It's about what proper thing to do is, and we did call the election board, and they did quickly correct the situation, but who knows how many incorrect ballots were passed. Okay, in the last election, the federal election, biggest problem we had, it was one of our biggest polling places, the St. Anne Community Center. I got phone calls. I was at another polling place, but there was lines out the door, 300 or 400 voters deep. It just was various reasons. I'm not picking on St. Louis County Election Board. I see one of the members back there. I would never do that. They've always been cooperative whenever we had a problem. I worked with the election judges on the site. We set up tables. We informed the voters that they could fill out the old paper ballots. It did alleviate some of the long lines. But regardless, you know who complains and who they complain to. A lot of elderly, a lot of disabled people that had to wait long lines. Obviously, some of them could have voted from their car. They do assist you at your car. They do everything they can to accommodate you. But the point is we need to do something to not disenfranchise the voters in the state of Missouri. This is not a partisan issue. There's black states, red states that have this. There's 35 other states that already currently have some form of early voting. Advanced voting, whatever term you want to use. Currently, we have absentee voting starts 6 weeks prior to an election. This bill will allow 3 weeks prior with a one-week break for election to allow the clerks to get everything processed and in place for the actual election date. It's a total of 14 days that would be allowed to vote in that time frame of the advanced voting. For federal elections, authorities must set 6 satellite voting states, 1 site for every 50,000 registered voters. For other elections, satellite sites will be at the local discretion of the judges. And at least 1 political party shall be represented at every one of these sites. There are penalty provisions in here, but due to sake of time, I would prefer to leave that to the witnesses. I would be happy to try and answer any of those if you want. There is some language in here about electioneering. Currently, I believe it's 25 feet. All of us are probably aware of that from our own elections. The clerks have asked for language to expand that to 100 feet. And I think all of us at one point or another have seen instances when we're at the polling places where there have been problems. And I think that maybe 100 feet might be excessive, maybe not. But I think something 25 feet is definitely not workable. I do think that needs to be expanded. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them, but fighting a little head cold here this morning, I apologize. But I do thank you for hearing the bill, and I can get to witnesses after your questions.
Okay, thank you, sir. And the first question will be by Representative Vibrock.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Yes.
Good morning. I guess the first one, my question is, we seem to have a hard time finding volunteers to work the polling places.
Correct. Well, that wouldn't be volunteers. They would be roughly making $9 an hour, I believe the fiscal note says. I think that you have a 14-day period that would actually make a little bigger chunk of money versus a one-day pay. I think that spreading it out over 14 days is a bigger chunk of money and maybe make it more palatable to people to consider doing it. It's just something that I think 14 days would take so much pressure off of that actual one-day voting and make voting more convenient for all voters.
Is this something
The state would have to pick up that. We had some problems there in the beginning. We certainly didn't want to put a state mandate down there and unfund it on the local level. It does have a fiscal note for the satellites would probably be the biggest one-time expense, but no, it would have to be funded from the state level.
Okay, any other questions for the sponsor? Representative Brown? Proceed.
I believe that's for everything. Do you have an issue with that, Rep?
Three weeks out. It'll be Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, and Saturday till noon.
Correct.
And then you're going to stop
1 week prior to give them a chance to process those early votes.
And so the way that they're counting these votes is the same way they counted all the votes?
Same way they count the absentee ballots, which there's, to my knowledge, hasn't been any problems with the absentee counting. No. No, that still exists. This is just another tool to assist the voters. Currently, there are 35 other states doing this, and so it's not cutting-edge legislation. It's pretty much widespread. I think it's a wave of the future. Well, and of those 35 states, I'm sure many of them are red, many of them are blue, so that's why I say this isn't a partisan issue.
Well, I just think that as families who are trying to raise children, pay bills, take care of their lives, a lot of times they're very busy and trying to get it done on a Tuesday, on April or Tuesday in August or Tuesday in November, it's sometimes difficult. So I think we need to do something.
Yeah, I agree. It will definitely help the voters, but it'll also help the election boards as well, so they're not burdened with that one big day rush.
Very good. Thank you, Mr.
You're welcome. Representative Colonna? Proceed.
Good morning. The clerks asked for that, is my understanding. Maybe some of the witnesses can address that when they come up. I have a couple places, a couple city halls that are very close quarters as well. I understand that, but sometimes it can be intimidating to the voters coming in, and you know that as well as I do. So we need to. It's about making the voters accessible and not intimidated as they go to vote.
Okay. Representative Davis.
I want to inquire.
Proceed.
About being 100 feet away, my observation has been the problem is not created by how many feet they are from the door, but rather by what their behavior's like. And there can be people 25 feet from the door who are providing a valuable service to those who come to vote by offering them additional information on the candidates and the issues they're about to see when they get inside the polls. Now, granted, most people don't want to stand and talk when they're on their way in to vote, but what about those who sincerely are confused or they came to vote for one issue, but then there are going to be other issues on the ballot of which they knew nothing of? And so the problem is that some do get pretty aggressive in their attitude. They feel like they have to give everybody something to carry as they walk into the polling place. So I don't think the problem is created to the related to the distance from the door. The problem is created because of the way they behave.
Well, I think what you see too is you got a controversial issue at times, an amendment, whatever it be, and you got both sides of the issue there, and they're both trying to get their information to that voter as they go in, and they can be very aggressive at times. I think if the voter desires that handout and that information, that they could be accessible at 100 feet, but if you have a problem with the 100-foot barrier, maybe we could shorten it. I think 25 is a little too close, in my opinion.
And then one more question. Wouldn't you think that the people who are going to vote in advance would want to vote more likely? It would intensify as we get closer to the election. So the week you're closed would be the one week that the majority of the people come to vote vote ahead of time.
The week break you're talking to?
Yeah,
prior.
The 1 week break. Yeah. That I guess my point is, it's my observation has been it tends to escalate. So the 1 week that they're shut down is the week when most people might come and want to vote in advance.
Well, that's a valid point, but I just think the election boards need time to process that early voting. If we're talking, it's going to be a new program, so they're going to need some time to work this out. I just think that 1 week prior would allow them time to process the ballots.
Well, and then one more question about your one polling place per 50,000. And I don't live in a rural area, so
I
guess I'm trying to imagine why that, you know, in St. Charles County, we have over 300,000 people, so that would, you know, one per 50,000 would be nearly, well, I like where we have our polling place, and I voted early absentee because every April I vote, I walk in, I tell them I'm not going to be in the district on the first Tuesday of April, and I've never had anybody question me or make me bring a signed note from my mother or my doctor or proof that I'm not going to be there. So I already feel like we have a lot of this in effect.
You have to sign an affidavit, and there are those that do lie. They really shouldn't be put in that position. I mean, just because they might have other jobs, other responsibilities for their families and their employment at that time, I don't think we need to back them into the corner and make them have to send an affidavit falsely.
Well, my question, though, is do you think there are going to be that many more people?
I do, and especially in the presidential elections, I completely would agree with that. As far as your answer for St. Charles, there would be 4 satellite offices due to their population. That's what the Secretary of State's office has calculated.
And I mean, my point is that where we vote right now is very centrally located. It's right off of I-70. It couldn't be easier.
It still could. Definitely.
It's only one spot, though, so there's not any additional cost because we already own the real estate. And so I guess that might be a big driver of the fiscal note.
The satellites are a big bulk of the fiscal note. There's no doubt about it. But
you allowed early voting and did not have the satellites? Could you live with that one?
I'd have to think that over. I'd wonder how that would impact the rural communities as well, because they might have to travel further to do that to get to their county office. We're trying to make this accessible and make it more convenient for the voters so we get a bigger voter turnout.
Well, even the rural people get out once in a while, and it's presumably in the county seat where they'd go to vote,
right,
which is going to be in a more populated area. But thank you for the answers.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Representative Wells. Proceed.
Do you think no excuse absentee voting would be the way to go and save the taxpayers lots of money and accomplish the same thing?
This is similar to this is advanced voting. That is a possibility. I just think this is a better direction to go. Why do you have a preference over no excuse absentee? I know some states do have that.
Well, why would you say this would be a better way to go when it would cost much more money than no excuse absentee?
Well, this costs a little bit more initially, but I just think this would be a better turnout for voter turnout in the long run.
What is your thinking there? Why would you think that?
Well, just by the various satellite offices and closer proximities to the residents.
Well, my district is much different than yours, I'm sure. I have 1,400 square miles.
I got 6.
And I would have one voting place because of my population, which would be the same place where you go to vote absentee ballot.
Well, we could talk about that. Do you have legislation for no excuse absentee?
Well, I have not filed legislation to that effect, but I've heard there may be something out there.
Yeah, I have too.
Thank you.
Anybody else to have questions for the sponsor? Yes, Representative Deal.
I figured that.
Oh, no. Why would you figure that? Come on. Just a couple things. One, I note that you have in here that the absent the advanced batting ballot will start on the third Wednesday before the election. I think the voter registration cutoff date is somewhere around the 3 to 4 week period prior to the election.
Pretty close to that point.
As I'm sure you know from reading the papers also that, you know, St. Louis County had and a lot of the urban jurisdictions had very significant issues with certain groups, not to be named here, dumping literally thousands and tens of thousands of voter registration applications on those election authorities at the deadline.
And were they ruled provisional ballots or?
Well, that's kind of what I'm right. Questioning you is how would you, and I think it's the fourth Wednesday, so the, you know, the week before, the election authorities are going to, and historically have had tens of thousands of ballots, tens of thousands of voter registrations dumped upon them a week before these early voting centers would work out. How would that bill handle someone showing up at the early voting center who may or may not be registered or may be registered improperly because they haven't had the chance yet to call through that? How would that be
handled? That's the point of having the week off prior to the election so they have time to process through that.
I just would respectfully tell you, and I once again, I'm not opposed to the concept of this. I would respectfully tell you that in this bill that's not
enough time.
So I mean, if this thing would move forward one way or the other, there would have to be either that voter registration cutoff date would have to be moved back further on the calendar, or the start of advance voting would have to be moved forward. It's just simply not enough time in a week to go through those, to complete the lists, and to get them out to the respective places.
Well, I certainly respect your knowledge of the information. I know your position, and I'd be willing to work with you on that.
And then also the 50,000 registered voters, who would determine where those satellites go? And that just strikes me as perhaps being a little bit of maybe overkill in terms of this.
Well, if you look in the fiscal note, it says the 41 satellites advance voting by 17 election authorities using the 50,000 registration voter formula. And then it lists the different counties and how many they'd get there.
Do you have any concepts or where those satellites would actually be located? Who would make the decision?
Yeah, I'd defer that to the Secretary of State's witness when he comes up.
So you would anticipate that the Secretary of State would choose where those satellite locations go?
Well, sure. And they would work with election authorities in the various counties.
And also, I'll just, you know, just one comment. I walked in on the last part of your testimony. I mean, I agree with you that over the past couple election cycles have been, beyond the last one in particular, that there have been, you know, a few polling places that have problems in St. Louis County. But I think I can report, and I think it's fair to say that the vast majority of polling places, you know, function just fine. And you know, I know from my own experience and hearing experience of other people this past election, really for the most part, this last election, that the polls were just completely dead after about noon. So, I mean,
mine were not, I can tell you.
I know, in a few isolated instances.
I applaud the St. Louis County Election Board for working with me and assist me to shorten those lines and accommodate my voters. Yeah,
there are about 500 polling places, and I acknowledge that there's a couple of them, but I think for the most part that the capacity is there on election day. I know, you know, most of the polling places, there was a big rush from 6 to 8 o'clock or so in the morning, because I think there's a lot of fear of being long lines and whatnot, and that kind of led to some of it. But I think the vast majority of polling places afternoon, and particularly after 3 o'clock, were just literally ghost towns, because by then 80-85% of the people that were going to vote had already voted. So you know,
I think there was a big fear that the late rush and they might not get their vote in, so most of the people did vote early, and that might have been what attributed to the
problem. I think that's correct. Yeah. So we still have to, I think, analyze whether there's actually a capacity problem. But I think there's some merit to this, and I think it's worth, you know, looking into further. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody else? Questions for the sponsor? Seeing none. Do you have any witnesses, sir?
I believe I have a few.
Okay. I'd like to remind everybody who will be a witness today to please fill out a form when you come up. Make sure that my secretary gets it.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Cochran. My name is Ron Berry. I represent the Secretary of State's office. I'd like to thank you for hearing HB 59, which would implement early voting in the state of Missouri. To simplify, this bill is about the voters of Missouri. This is about convenience. The bill would allow for early voting for a two-week period that would start 3 weeks out from the election. You know, there's a number of individuals and families that are having trouble juggling their schedules, and this would just, again, make it convenient for the voters themselves. We have experienced long lines in the state of Missouri. We have also, you know, the early voting would also decrease some of the stress on the poll workers. As Representative Corcoran mentioned, there are 35 other states that have some form of early voting. And we feel that the state of Missouri and voters in Missouri deserve nothing less. The current absentee process would not change. During the two-week period of early voting, voters that wish to vote early would vote a regular ballot. They would just do it in person. The HB 59 also adds some privacy issues. One, we already mentioned, Representative Corcoran mentioned the electioneering would be moved from 25 feet to 100 feet. It also would bring into balance, if you're an election board versus a county clerk, names of those that would vote early or absentee, those names would only be available the Friday prior, where now, if you're a clerk, upon request, they're available at the time that absentee voting starts. Again, you know, this language has been worked on in over past sessions. We've worked with members of the General Assembly, the County Clerks Association, the electioneering, and the notices of names. That's part of their principles. And, you know, we just think that this is a good bill for the voters of Missouri, and we would encourage you to do pass House Bill 59.
Any questions for the witness? Representative B. Brock. Proceed.
Well, I don't know. I understand your concern about exit polling, but let's remember that the ballots that are cast in early voting are going to be treated similar to those that are cast as an absentee. They're not going to be counted until the day of the election. Again, this bill does not address exit polling, and I don't know that that I necessarily have an answer with regards to exit polling.
All right. Anybody else? Representative Deal.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Representative.
To inquire the witness.
Proceed.
I want to get back to some of the same questions I asked the bill sponsor. How would the Secretary of State envision assigning the location of the satellite?
Sir, the Secretary's office has nothing to do with that. That's entirely up to the local election authority.
Okay. I guess one of the concerns I have in working through this problem, and once again I want to reiterate that, you know, as a general concept, I think this is something that's worth exploring. And I think this is similar to what Representative Wells was raising a little bit earlier, is, you know, you may have a, you know, a jurisdiction like the city of St. Louis that has 300,000 people more or less in it, and the registered voters are probably somewhat less than that. And within that relatively confined jurisdiction, you may have six early satellite locations, yet, you know, the same 300, you know, the same county that kind of like Representative Wells is in, you know, someone may have to drive 30, 40 miles for an early voting center, whereas someone in a closer urban jurisdiction only has to drive 2 or 3 miles. And it would seem that that, you know, creates an unequal playing field between some of the urban and rural voters. How, I mean, do you think there's any way to, I think that's one of the hurdles and one of the obstacles we have to get over this. Do you have any thoughts on how that could be addressed?
Well, sir, in the bill, it allows the local election authority, if they decide they want to set up a satellite somewhere else aside from the central location, they can do that. In the 50,000, we were just trying to break that up so that you had a number of other locations besides the central location. You know, in Texas County, it's not any different than going to the clerk's office to vote absentee. That's where they would have to go now to vote absentee.
Right.
And so there's a lot of latitude in this bill with the decisions to be made by the local election authority.
Back to the voter registration cutoff dates. While this may be something worth pursuing, well, let me back up. What's the Secretary of State's position on same day as a general concept between same day registration and early voting?
Sir, this does not address.
I understand that. I asked, what's the Secretary of State's position on that as a concept?
I don't know that we have an official position that we have taken on same day registration at this time.
Okay. Isn't the Secretary of State part of a group of Secretaries of State called the Secretary of State Project, where that agenda is early voting and same-day registration? Are you aware of that?
I'm aware of a few of the committees that she serves on, but I'm not familiar with that particular committee.
Right. You know, because one of the fears, I mean, while I do support, you know, I think there's some merit to the early voting, I think having same-day registration and early voting is a disaster waiting to happen. And what I see with this bill is that the line here is getting really, really close, and it's not too difficult at some point in the near future for someone simply to move that line 1 week or the other, and now we have same-day registration and early voting like happened in Ohio and some other places this past election cycle. Would you agree with me that that is something that we're not intending to do here, and that we should probably perhaps build the proper safeguards to make sure that same-day registration and early voting do not overlap in an administrative way?
This bill does not address same-day registration.
But, I mean, does the Secretary of State agree that that is something which we ought to try to avoid when crafting something like this?
Well, any language that before we would take a position on any language, we'd want to review the language first.
I'm just talking about it as a concept. You know, obviously, as you go through these, there are going to be amendments and changes and whatnot. As a concept, does the Secretary of State support the concept of separating voter registration deadlines from early voting, making sure that there's a clear line of demarcation where the two shall not cross?
I'm not prepared to speak on that today, sir, okay. And I'd like to get back with you.
Great, that'd be great. Thank you.
Can I make one clarification, sir?
Yeah.
So registration stops 4 weeks out before
correct.
The election.
That's correct.
Early voting would start 3 weeks out. So just as if somebody came in to vote absentee, if there's a question about their registration during the early voting period, they would vote a provisional ballot.
I understand, but then, you know, the cost and the, you know, I mean, I think as a general goal in elections over the past couple of years, that our goal has been to reduce the number of provisional ballots, allowing people to vote real ballots. So once again, when we're putting something in place, and if we put it in place for future use, I don't think we want to put something in place that builds in a whole bunch of provisional ballots. And the closer you get that deadline for voter registration cutoff to any type of voting, the more likely you're going to have those types of issues, particularly in the urban jurisdictions. I think you'd agree we want to support as a concept going away from provisional voting toward actual voting of ballots. I mean, just for the matter of voter confidence and all those types of issues. So I understand your point, but as a matter of public policy, I think we ought to be looking the other direction on it. Going back to the fiscal notes.
Representative, one second.
Oh, sure.
I just, for the record, want to say I do not support same-day registration. And
okay.
I'd be willing to work with you on voter registration cutoff dates.
Great. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. On these fiscal notes, if we could, the Secretary of State has done a fiscal note. As best I can tell, the cost for each election is $191,716, and we think that that is what, statewide?
Well, if you'll note, sir, the first year is going to be a little more expensive than that. And that's because of the initial setup. And we are using actual HAVA funds to provide computers, printers, so that, and internet connections, so that the satellite locations have what they need. Let's remember, though, that there's 116 voting or 116 election jurisdictions. You're only talking about 17 of those that would have satellite operations. Again, unless the local election authority decides that they want to do that.
Right, and that kind of gets back to my initial problem, is I think a lot of these local election authorities will want to make it as convenient for their voters as they are in the urban areas.
Which is clearly their prerogative.
Right. Is that a cost that you anticipate being covered?
The way this would work is this is a reimbursement, so we would reimburse. And as you know, fiscal notes are based on assumptions and approximations.
I understand. But I note once again that your cost for each election is $191,716, and I'm just looking at the very first from a local county. It says Cole County estimates it to be $30,000 per election. Well, you take $30,000 times 119 counties in the state, and you come up with $3+ million per year. I mean, it just seems like that's or per election, that seems like a pretty wide variance, and I'm trying to reconcile those numbers. St. Louis County has, a cost of, it's broken down to different categories, but it's, annual recurring cost for St. Louis County alone is $178,000. That's for your entire statewide budget. So, I mean, have you had a chance to look at this to determine how those numbers can be reconciled?
Well, for example, in St. Louis County, they're asking for a number of additional electronic voting machines. We are providing in our fiscal note one for each satellite as required under HAVA. And that's why we provide the printer so that you can do ballot on demand.
But then that would require, for example, in St. Louis County to completely redo how they do on-site absentee voting. You understand that would require them to change the entire system and investment that's in place.
I understand that, sir.
Okay.
But, many other jurisdictions are using the absentee process. In fact, basically, St. Louis County is on their own with regards to voting by purely the DRE.
Actually, St. Louis County does not vote purely by DRE, and they're not on their own.
When it comes to absentee.
That's not true either. Absentee in St. Louis County by mail is by paper ballot. In person is absentee, and that's the same as you have in St. Louis City.
Excuse me, in person.
And that's the same as you have in St. Louis City, so the county's not on their own. So, okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions for the witness? Yes, Representative Frame. Proceed.
That's correct. in the changing of electioneering, and I believe that exit polling is considered as electioneering, so it would move those individuals back an additional 75 feet from the current restriction of 25 feet. And just for clarification, you know, the 25 feet that we have in Missouri is probably one of the lowest of the states. In some states, it's as high as 400 feet. There's polling done even today on the elections that are coming up in 2010. So, I mean, there's polling constantly being done. I don't know that you could design legislation that would stop polling. Right. Currently, if you vote absentee, your name can be submitted to a candidate upon request. If it's an election board, that's done the Friday prior to the election. If it is a county clerk, then that is available upon the beginning of absentee voting, which is 6 weeks out. I would not be surprised that if some candidates are not even soliciting those people during the time, which again helps with the privacy issue, because a lot of the, you know, there's a number of absentee ballots that are mailed out, and so, you know, if you receive that ballot by mail, you may have not have made your determination, you know, by marking it because you haven't returned it yet. You know, with the advance or distance of the electioneering and the limitation on the release of these names, this is a privacy issue. This is a protection issue for the voters.
I'd be willing to work with you on that. I have probably two of my polling places that I know would take me off a site as well. So if there were big barriers for like the city of St. Louis or your situation, we could probably make up some kind of exception, I guess.
Okay, thank you. Representative Brown? All right, proceed.
Those individuals that have families, and everyone has a busy life. So this, again, is just a convenience. They're not going to be restricted to just the one day of the actual election day. You know, they can go in and vote absentee currently, 6 weeks prior, but this simplifies the election process and the fact that you won't have to fill out the affidavit. You do not have to fill out the envelope. which is going to cut costs, and they'll be able to vote a regular ballot.
And let me ask you, Mr. Mayor, when you hear from your constituents and folks who are interested in voting around the state of Missouri, would you feel the majority of those folks would like to participate in some form of early voting, or maybe get their vote in on a Saturday, or voting online as different options? They're just trying to be creative in ways that they can get to the poll.
Again, the purpose of this bill is to make voting more convenient for the citizens of Missouri.
That's all I can understand on this bill, and I know that one of the representatives knows a lot more detail about it than I do about the financial situation. I can tell you, in my district, people feel disenfranchised when they don't get a chance to vote. And when you narrow it down to a Tuesday on a work day, it makes their lives very difficult to get to the polling. And so a lot of folks just give up. They don't participate at all. By coming up with an idea, an option like this, a tool like this, you get more people inspired to go out and vote. This is what we're, I think, across the country, what people would like to do is to make their voices be heard. I think that's what we did this last election. I think it was plain and clear we were dissatisfied with the way things had gone on with the last administration, and we got a whopper of a turnout for this past president, and I think we need to probably keep that momentum going. So I applaud you. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Colonna, proceed.
You had mentioned that 35 other cities do early voting.
Yes, sir.
Can you give a little bit of history about the draft that this bill? What I mean by that is I assume some states in early voting procedures have worked better than others, and I assume you guys contemplated that in the draft. Do you know some of the pitfalls that you think you've overcome and what we're going to be doing better?
Well, I think that, for example, the first state to do this was, I believe, Texas. So you really don't see a lot of difference when it comes to turnout. Again, it's a convenience. You don't see anything with regards to partisanship, because if you look at the states that have early voting or some form of early voting, it was split down the almost down the middle this past November. You know, the states that traditionally went red or the states that traditionally went blue that have early voting, they stayed that way. Again, it's about the voters. It's about making it easier for them to exercise their right.
Is Tomahawk or any individual state's experience, or it's kind of a collection of the best aspects of everything?
This is more of a collection. You know, this bill has been heard, or similar versions of this bill have been heard in the past couple of sessions. I don't believe there was a bill heard last session. And again, it's working with members of the General Assembly. It's working with the Clerks Association, and we're trying to just provide convenience to the voters in Missouri.
Anybody else? Seeing none. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Can I ask a question? How many people out here will be testifying for this bill? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And how many will be testifying against it? 2. And how many for general information? 2. Okay, because we want to try to move this thing along, and we don't like if we can keep away from repeat after repeat, you know, the same thing, it would sure move this a lot faster. So I'm asking all of you to try to bear along with us, because we've got a lot to do. And so if we could do that, would you call your next witness, please?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Nancy Copenhaver from Moberly with the League of Women Voters. League has a policy that we support an electoral process that is fair, accurate, efficient, accessible, accountable, and uniform. And that really covers everything. So making it more convenient for today's busy citizen to vote is important to encourage more voter participation as an important civic duty, and this has been a goal of the League for nearly 90 years, is to get more people to vote. We're not real picky about how we do that. We want it to be, as I said, fair and efficient and all of those kinds of things, but we do want to encourage voting. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Yes, Representative Davis.
To inquire.
Proceed.
You said that you one of your values was to have voting be uniform, but I don't read anything in here that says what hours the satellite location would have to operate. And maybe you can enlighten me on that, because if it doesn't say they have to be open Saturday, then you could still fall into the same problem.
It says weekdays 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturdays until noon.
What page?
I'm reading from the summary.
Okay, I see it. The hour Saturday till noon. Okay, and then I'd be curious to see if you have an opinion on the distance that the educators can be from the polling site, because 25, obviously, as the witness before you said, if there's some states that have it be 400 feet away. Well, if you're going to be 400 feet away, it essentially creates the same thing as making it pointless. And in some areas, even 100 feet away is off the premises. I mean, it's so far away that you're neutralized. Does League of Women Voters have any thoughts on if that's essentially, I guess the state has the ability to neutralize the impact of anybody being at the polls on election day?
We don't have any position on that, and that as a rural person and in rural voting issues, that's just simply not an issue out in the country, because people just don't do those kinds of things.
People don't stand at the polls up there?
Not unless they want to be harassed.
Well, I've always been polite when I've been at the polls. I figure it's my job to make materials available in case people are confused about who to vote for. And then usually I just smile and wave and look pretty and then make myself available for them to hug me and kiss me on their way out. But then there have been other times when yes, come on. Maybe they don't want to hug and kiss you, but they do me. But if I were 100 feet away, it would create a hard. My point is that, thank you. I guess my question was if 100 feet would be enough to be of any value, because people will. And I've never been aggressive, but I have had times when the other candidate is aggressively passing out his stuff, and then I feel like, well, why am I here? I guess the point is if the message of this is we don't want people to even be there, then that's what we're going to get.
I don't think that's the message. I think the message is we want the voters to have a safe place to vote. I've been handing out literature since I was able to stand at the polls for my father. There has been instances, all of us know that, where there's been overly aggressive people, and I just think the 100-foot barrier would allow people to feel safer coming in to vote. You know as well as I do, when somebody comes to vote, whether they're interested in your literature or not, you obviously don't force it on them if they're not interested. They've already made their mind up. They've done their homework. You just back off. Others will just take everything and pitch it in the trash can. Others actually do look at it, but I just think they need to have ingress and egress getting in and out of the facilities and not be intimidated. That's the reason for that language being in there.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. We've got that down on record.
Feel a lot of love.
Yeah. Would you do that on TV?
I will try and be as quick as possible. My name is Jay Hardenbrook with AARP. I do have written testimony for the committee. We just support any legislation that increases accessibility to the voting process.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Moving right along.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bob Quinn. I'm Executive Director of the Missouri Association for Social Welfare. Pleasure to be with you again. We just want to be on record in favor of this for the reasons that other witnesses have cited, but I'd answer any questions if you have them.
Any questions for the witness? Seeing none. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Morning.
Members of the committee. John Kaufman here representing the ACLU. We also support the legislation and any efforts to expand the opportunity to the right to exercise your vote. We also wanted to comment on the electioneering thing. We think that 100 feet is probably excessive. We think that electioneering and voter education should be allowed to occur at the location. Maybe it doesn't have to be 25 feet, but we are worried individuals should not be allowed to block access or harass people, but they should have access to people. That's all.
Any questions for the witness? Yes, sir. Representative Deal.
To inquire the witness.
Proceed. Yes.
Does the ACLU have a position on same-day registration and early voting?
I'm not sure. I could check for you.
I mean, typically, I believe in other states, the ACLU and ACLU-backed organizations have supported the concept of same-day registration and early voting. Is that not correct?
I think it has differed jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Generally, nationally, just general principles of encouraging people to vote and enhancing the right to vote.
And you don't see any issues or problems with same-day registration early, at least the ACLU.
I think it would
doesn't.
Depend on how you implemented it. I mean, I think there's a variety of ways you could do it, some that might not be bad.
Do you think that there are any issues with that?
There could be, yeah.
Okay.
But
thank you.
It just depends on the facts or the details of how it's done.
Any other questions for the witness? Seeing none, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Sean DeBria, public policy specialist with Paraquat, Center for Independent Living in St. Louis. And we want to go on the record as in support of this bill. And we also want to encourage the sponsor to think about with the satellite polling places that they be accessible, making sure that they would be accessible to all voters. But we are definitely in support of this bill, anything that would increase access to the election process. Thank you.
Any questions for the witness? Seeing none, thank you, sir. Anyone else to testify in favor of House Bill 59? Seeing none, anyone to testify against House Bill 59? Morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Dale Russell from Blue Springs, Missouri. I'm here to speak out in opposition. I have several things that disturbed me on it. Number one is the terms here, interstate former resident, interstate new resident, and new resident. For the most part, most of the people who plan to vote need to make some type of arrangements, even if they're in a moving situation or relocation. I have been in this situation 26 times. I served in the military and in the power industry, so I've moved all over the country. And only one time did I fail to get to vote, and that was an absentee vote. The courthouse at Canales, Colorado, burned to the ground with my absentee application in it. So by the time they got that all straightened up, the election was over and the candidates were already taking office. The other section of this that bothered me is the whole section 2.76. There's 10 items in there, and basically what I see is this is an expense to the taxpayer. These satellite offices and everything in a lot of these areas, somebody's going to have to pay for all of this. And I think in the long run, a lot of this, we're going to have satellite offices there that are manned by people, and you can go on most of these voting places, and you're going to find people sitting around drinking coffee and talking. I've seen them playing cards and ladies knitting. And I just hate to see a lot of satellite offices set up to have craft shows. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to try and answer or give some of my opinions.
Any questions for the witness?
Okay.
Yes, Representative Brown.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Oh,
okay. I've never missed it, an opportunity to vote.
And so when you voted, you made time, you called working and made time to get out there and get to the poll.
That's correct. It's an obligation and a privilege, and I have made, you know, I've got up early. I've left work a little bit early. I've taken leave in some cases to get in. I've voted absentee a number of times in a number of different states, and I've never had a problem.
So voting's important to you.
It's very important. I see some of your point, and there are a few people that no matter how this bill is written or any bill, there's going to be people that do not vote for one reason or another. Also, I see that you expand this thing out to 3 weeks like this, you're inviting procrastination because there's a tremendous number of people that can't remember to make a meeting at their local church. They're eating supper when they realize they were supposed to be at the meeting, or they put it off. People tend to put things off. And you open up 3 weeks, you're just increasing procrastination as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you, sir. Anyone else to testify against?
Hi, I'm Janet Renner with Missourians Against Illegal Immigration, and I'd like to bring up a couple points that maybe haven't been brought up before and then make some comments. But my main points are that by expanding this election to satellite areas and so forth in time and in geographic location, there's just more time for fraud in which illegal aliens might be able to vote. Historically, they have always voted in elections and either by their own volition or else by being parties steering them that way. And we know that both parties indulge in fraud or election fraud, and that this would be just give them more time for mischief in my view. Of course, I've mentioned the John Fund book, Stealing Elections, and one thing that he says is that ignoring or refusing to recognize the enduring problems of election fraud and mismanagement that plague many parts of our country will ensure that it spreads, mutates, and grows more toxic. So I think we should always, as a state, be on guard to safeguard our precious vote and make sure that only Americans will vote in these elections. The next thing I would like to, my main point is that I think this this rush for convenience for Missourians to vote, it really strikes a blow at our American traditions and our traditions in the state. I mean, besides the cost of physically putting the satellites out and manning them with maybe one or two supervisors, I think it takes away the excitement of the whole election process. Again, in the John Fund book, they came to the conclusion that voter turnout is not increased historically up to this point by any kind of early voting or absentee voting. And so I think at what cost, that there are costs involved with convenience. And it also, what it does too, it separates people into two groups. So you got the advanced voters, and then you got the rest of the voters. And I think it takes away, I was thinking of the other day, like a wedding, Well, you have a wedding, it's one big splash, and everybody comes, and then you see what happens. But what if you had like a partial wedding, in several other places before the wedding? I'm thinking, well, maybe even one of them, the groom or the bride, might even, bow out and decide they didn't want to do it. Just like, you have all this voting ahead of time, and then some voters that will say, well, I don't even feel like voting, these people have already done it. And someone brought the idea up about, I think there could even be voter remorse from the advanced voters, because in the John Fund book, again, they raised the situation about the Bush and Gore election. Well, that close to the election, that they found out something bad about Bush, about the DUI thing. And actually, so the people that had voted ahead of time, they might have, changed their vote and voted for Gore had this not happened. So I think in that way, it's a disservice that, anything can happen, even the day of the election. And so I think, those people might even litigate if there's enough of them, and litigate and say, we want to cancel out that vote because look what happened, and we didn't know that. So that's something that wasn't considered. I think that instead of this convenience, I just think, people need to vote and feel good about voting on that one big day, and that's what we should be educating people about. In fact, all this convenience, why don't we provide that convenience right now in our general elections? Why do we have to pass a separate law to have the same convenience? Now, we had a long line at my polling place. It happened to be nice outside, but people enjoyed it. And there were a couple of people that said, well, I'm going to come back. But like one of the witnesses said before, there's going to be people that won't vote at all. And several people say, make it easy. Well, and make it uniform. What can be more uniform than having everybody vote on the same day? So I don't agree with that. I think we need to prepare for our elections. I think, you say, well, families, can't do it. Well, yes, they can. And everybody's got families someplace. And most of us make it to the elections. So we need to prepare ourselves as people for elections. Let's make it a big deal instead of making a new law and letting half some of the people, not very many, some of the people vote ahead of time and then the rest of us vote this time. Senator Vibrock, I think, or sorry about that, Representative. Representative.
Love that one.
I'm in the wrong committee.
But again, that exit polling, I mean, that even turned me off in the regular, the big election. And so, people are going to be bragging about this or that, what they thought. And a lot of people are just going to be turned off and not vote at all because of that. And I think that's really bad. So how much are we going to pay for convenience? As a Missouri taxpayer, I don't want to pay any more for this new bill if it's passed. I just want my elections to be fair and honest, and I want them to be as convenient as possible. You can do so many things for people, and they'll still pick on something and say, well, I didn't like this or that about it. You're not going to please everybody. Let's keep our American traditions and keep our traditions in Missouri. Have voting day be a great an exciting day, and people will go to vote if they want to. They'll find a way. Thank you.
Questions for the witness? Yes, Representative Frame. Proceed.
First of all, you had been pre-wedding plan and all that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we need to write some legislation on that.
the voter's remorse that you talked about, and was the example you cited, the Bush's DWI? Tell me a little more about voter remorse. That's interesting, though.
Well, I mean, that's about all I know about it. They didn't go into great detail, but, you know, they thought things like this, that the candidate, Al Gore, possibly could have won the election, but that took a part of his votes. I mean, he could have gotten those votes maybe from the Republican side if they had known earlier about the DUI with Bush. You know, that came out close to the election day. And it came out right very close to the election day. And so, I mean, people that had voted ahead of time, you know, they couldn't change their votes. So.
I knew about some cocaine use, apparently, but I didn't know anything about a DUI.
Yes, it's in the book. Okay. So it was only on for a very, you know, like a blip, and then it was off.
Yeah.
But
well, there's so much stuff you
can do. It's John Fund's book, Stealing Elections. Okay. It's noted in there.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, we were talking about the DUI.
It's just information that came out shortly before it was time to vote. And, of course, you had a lot of absentee voters and people like that. They had voted ahead of time. Well, it might have changed their vote from one side to the other. And the information could come out that was good for people, too. Something good that had been brought out rather than something bad that would change people's minds. So I'm.
Did you vote?
I. I have no.
You voted on election day?
Yes.
So you knew about the EWI, DUI, before you voted. You voted, you had that knowledge.
Yes.
Did that change your voting the way?
Well, I don't know. I considered it.
Did you know about the cocaine experience?
I knew about it all.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to raise a point.
I'm sorry.
I think this is... not about the bill, and it's about harassing this witness.
Oh, no, but, like...
I would raise the point of order that I wasn't inquiring as to a witness as to how she voted or the reasons for casting a vote.
Well, I was just... Yeah.
Let's just proceed and keep it to the...
I'll make one last inquiry.
Okay, sir.
You had commented that you think people enjoy long lines?
No, but I think... No, I don't think people enjoy long lines, but people make the best of it.
Yeah,
If I said that, I didn't mean that they enjoy an inconvenience. I mean there will always be inconveniences that people may say happen to them. But Americans usually make the best of any situation. I think that's just one example, and I don't think we need to pass a law just because people are inconvenienced in our state. Oh, thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, anyone else to testify against House Bill 59? Seeing none, anyone here to testify for informational purposes only? They're coming up in pairs now.
Safety in numbers.
We want to thank you, gentlemen, for your long travels today to come up here and testify for this.
I guess Richard has given me the opportunity to go first. Darrell Kemp, County Clerk of Cooper County. I'm also the co-chair of the Missouri County Clerks Association. I just have a couple of points out of this legislation. The point for all federal elections, it's going to be somewhat confusing for voters if we have some elections where we have early voting, some elections we don't have early voting. That confusion then comes back to us as election authorities when the public says, well, the last time I was able to early vote, I'm here to early vote, and you're not set up for it. What are you doing? So I do believe we ought to consider all the elections and not just federal elections. It is a convenience that's been addressed over and over by everyone. I don't know that there's any election authority, and I might be wrong, but I don't know that any election authority in the state is jumping up and down for early voting or no excuse absentee or any of that nature. It is a convenience for the voters, and if we do that, we want to be on top of the security of this issue. Security is always a big issue when those ballots are out there, whether we're doing some kind of touch screen where we're going to be setting touch screens up and allowing people to use those, and those votes are being counted immediately. They may not be recorded anywhere. If we're using our InSight devices with a paper ballot, those ballots are going to be going into a machine that's counting them. So all that record keeping has to have a tight, tight security. I don't know, and I don't mean to speak wrongly of the sponsors' 100-foot opposition or 100-foot canvassing. I don't know of any county clerks who have came to me saying that they wanted this 100-foot, and we're not necessarily – I don't know that we're opposed to or in favor of that as an association as a big issue. And I don't know – I don't want to say which clerk, but none have come to me saying, let's get that line changed. The last thing I want to address, however, is the cost of this, and that's the fiscal note. It has been addressed that the satellite locations are being addressed in this bill, you know, for 17 satellite or 17 jurisdictions. Well, with 116 election authorities in the state, you're leaving out the other 99. Are you leaving out the cost to pay for the rest of us to have this? And when I say that, not all of our courthouses have enough space to have this opportunity to vote early in my office. And we're going to need parking. We're going to need a satellite location. So when we're talking satellite locations, we're not talking satellite locations in 17 jurisdictions. We're talking statewide in allowing all counties to have that opportunity. I don't have staff now that can handle a third of the voters, and I don't have time myself to set this up. So we're looking at additional costs for implementation of this legislation. In this particular fiscal note provided, and I pulled this out of the fiscal note, of course, Secretary of State's office has their amount, but St. Louis County alone has a calculation of fiscal year 2010 of $1 million. That's St. Louis County alone's projection. I did a projection in my county. Coe County has $30,000. I did one. And I have 40,000. Well, you take that times 116, and I think you find pretty quickly in your addition that's $5 million. So we have some differences, I do believe, and I'll go all the way back to where I started. We're providing convenience. We're not opposed to providing that convenience. However, you do have stated in here that this state will pay for this. We would hope that once you put this in the bill that you live up to that year after year and we don't get back to times where other things then say, okay, now we're doing it, but we don't happen to have money this year, so you folks, you just keep on doing it, but by the way, we're not going to pay you anymore because we're out of funds. And I'll be glad to take any questions.
Any questions for the witness? Yes, Representative Ebrock.
As fast.
Maybe I should let Richard give his portion before I take questions. I don't know.
Okay. I'm Richard Struckoff, Greene County Clerk. I was interested in the analogy of the wedding being like an election. In our office, we had a lady, a longtime employee, who said elections are like having a baby. So let me draw that analogy for you. We have 13 hours of labor on election day. This proposition is going to spread that labor over 14 days, okay, 12 hours a day. So from an election official standpoint, I think we're willing to go through that labor if we deliver a healthy baby, okay? However, when you get the hospital bill for that extra labor and all those extra days that you're in the hospital, that's where the rubber meets the road. And I have to commend the members of this committee for asking great questions. Mr. Colonna asked a great question. There are 35 states out there who have early voting. Which ones have we looked at to find out where the best practices are? And I think you heard that we didn't really do that. And we should. we should really analyze this because, folks, this is a big change. It is a convenience for Missouri voters, and I'm all for convenience, but we really have to consider the cost here. As my colleague said, I think the Secretary of State's office has really underestimated what this is going to cost the state of Missouri. It will not increase turnout. Keep that in mind. It is only a convenience. Look at the numbers. Just in Kansas and Arkansas, two of our neighboring states who have early voting, over half the voters last year voted before Election Day. In my county, folks, and we had the highest turnout ever last November, we had 137,000 voters. That means as many as 70,000 people will vote early. Under this bill, I only get three or four satellite locations. That's not nearly enough. But even with four locations, staffing them with four people at each, which is not nearly enough, we still come up with per election over $30,000 of extra personnel costs, just in personnel costs. That's not computers. That's not rent for the buildings for 14 days. That's just personnel. Over 30,000 per election. So it's going to drive up the cost for the federal elections. And as my colleague said, when do we extend this to local elections? I'm already hearing from our localities, our cities, our schools, that our election costs are way out of line. Excuse me. And it's going to drastically change the way you campaign. It's already come up. You're going to have to start your campaigns earlier because people are going to start voting in droves a lot early, at least 3 weeks before the election. That means your campaigns have to gear up a lot quicker, which means they're going to cost you more money. If you do consider this legislation, would you also consider vote centers like they have in Colorado? If we had early voting, instead of having 80 polling places on Election Day in my county, we could reduce that to 20 or 30 vote centers, and you could go to any one of them. You wouldn't have to go to a designated one. So we could count, discount the number of polling places that we have open on Election Day. So do them both at the same time. So again, I'm all in favor of Missouri voters having this convenience. But, you know, if it's a cost situation, does the state have this kind of money? And let's really look at the cost. Let's really look and see how other states are doing it and do it the best way possible.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, Mr. B. Brock, or Senator B. Brock, you can go ahead.
Richard, we've talked before, and you alluded to the personnel issue. How hard is it for you to find enough polling workers and or volunteers to handle Election Day, and how much is that going to be amplified by taking it out over 2 weeks?
It's very difficult to find people who want to work a 13-hour day or more for the amount of money that we pay them. This will make it more difficult, obviously, to find people who will do this over a 14-day period in addition to Election Day and Saturdays. We will find them. However, we're probably going to have to increase the amount of pay. I think the bill is calling for $9 per hour. I think in some parts of the state, like St. Louis, St. Louis County, it's going to be a lot harder to find people to work for that.
Any other questions?
Yes. And I just add just a little bit to that. It's not just those people that are working there that day. All when I talked about security of this, all of this equipment, of these ballots, every piece of this has security. So somebody's going to have to be in charge of who moves what where every morning, every night, of every bit of this. So we're not just talking, well, let's just have somebody sit there and take a ballot. You're talking someone to be in charge as well of security of all of this equipment. And county clerks and the election authorities all have full-time jobs now, so somebody's going to be hired to do that as well.
And I think yes, Mr. Dupree raised a very good point about exit polling as well. All you have to do is have a couple of AP people, 25 feet or 100 feet. You know, it doesn't matter how many feet, but they will be asking the voters as they leave. That's going to be a much more accurate way to poll people who've already voted rather than calling people who might vote on Election Day. Very accurate. And as you said, you're going to see people really disenfranchised before Election Day gets there because the polls will be released before Election Day.
Representative Frame.
I appreciate that you're
major purpose of things. And it sounded a whole lot like opposition, though. I don't know what the definition here of testimony on a conference vote is, but the testimony I just heard sounded a whole lot more like opposition other than saying we don't really take a stance, but then you kind of went into we have convenience, but after that, everything was in opposition.
I think what they're saying is like the movie "Show Me the Money." I think that's just where it comes from. They're wanting to.
But if the bill is, but I'm sorry, but if the bill is missing paying 99 jurisdictions for having a place to have the election, that might sound as a negative, but it's informationally because that's missing in the bill. So. Well, I can't answer that.
Sorry, Mr. Frame, if it came off that way. I'm just trying to lay out the facts because I think some of the information that's been provided doesn't accurately reflect what this really means. And I would hope, I mean, I would love for our voters to have that convenience. I mean, I would love for our voters to be picked up, that we could provide rides to the polls so that the parties didn't have to do it. But. We're just trying to lay that out. Somebody mentioned before the state of Texas was one of the first ones. I have colleagues there who, you know, right when that happened, they said, hey, our voters love this, but the expense of it is unbelievable. And I think that's one thing that we have to look at. Does the state have the money for this convenience? That's the real question.
Any other questions? Representative Brown? Okay.
The only federal funds that we received were for the equipment under the Help America Vote Act. There have also been some grant money distributed by the Secretary of State's money office for poll worker training, things of that nature, but not doesn't nearly touch the cost. Last November was the most expensive election we ever held in Greene County. It approached $500,000, and it was almost twice as much as the previous presidential election when we just had those awful punch card machines. But if you see the way costs are escalating, and I just came from a national standards board, we're going to have to change all of our equipment probably in the next 5 to 10 years. Who's going to pay for that? I'm not sure Congress is going to pony up this time. So it's pretty scary when it comes to cost for elections.
Okay, any other questions? Seeing none, thank you, gentlemen, very much. We appreciate it. Is there anybody else here to testify for informational purposes only? Seeing none, that ends the hearing on House Bill number 50. Oh, excuse me.
I just like to conclude. Been some interesting points made up. This is we can go through together, and I'd be willing to work with you. Representative Wells makes some good suggestions about the expense of the satellite. I'd do whatever it takes to work with members of the committee and reining in the cost of this. I do think it's a good bill. If there's some things that need to be changed, I'd be willing to work with everybody.
Appreciate your cooperation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. That will end the hearing on House Bill number 59.